We're back on Kick This. Word on the street here, we're calling it. Jeff DeVronica can't be with us in the studio. Rich Randall in the studio right now. And if you haven't heard, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pro soccer is returning to Frontier Field on July 9th. Richie, I don't know how you pulled that one off, but there was a conflict at the Giant Hot Dog Salem Stadium. You had a scheduled game. The league says, hey, we don't change dates. You got to play July 9th. And how were you able to do that?
I'll just make it simple. We made it happen. And I couldn't tell you how excited I am. And like I said earlier, I mean, people have been texting me and emailing me and calling me like crazy, just so excited. And the last time soccer has been played there was, I think, 2005. And the last women's game that played there, Sam, set the record all time, any event ever that's ever happened at Frontier Field, sports, non-sports. It's got the highest attendance record in that venue. Was the U.S. women? They played Iceland in just, you know, a friendly match. It didn't matter. They had over 14,000.
That was Mia Hamm's like 100th goal or something, and Abby Wambach was kind of like a younger player that, you know, looking up to Mia Hamm. So that is like, there's so many memories like that. The championships that were won there. Yeah. All the great players over the years, the legends that played for the Rhinos, think about them all. Like Lennon Steenkamp, I got video of him going to the flag and doing the Elvis impersonation. And you had Yeri Almut doing the Michael Jackson dance. And Mike Kerms, I have pictures of him doing the flip throw. I mean, Craig Demon, you know, Scotty Switzer with the Hulkamania ear thing. Obviously, Doug Miller, Tommy Tanner. I mean, the list goes on and on about guys that became household names. Billy Spasta and Drecky. So many guys became household names. This community played at Frontier Field, and that's where it just exploded. And it was just magic back then.
It was magic, and it was an exciting brand of soccer back then. They scored goals. And, you know, last night, listen, we beat Boston 7-1. Yes, outdoor soccer. We beat Boston 7-1. The Flash did last night. So Jess McDonald scored a hat trick last night, and you know, we are the highest scoring team in the league right now, playing against the best players in the world in this league. And we scored 7 goals last night. So Jess McDonald, I'm going to teach her that little Elvis goal celebration from Lennon Steenkamp and have her pull it out Frontier Field on July 9th.
I have video of all that stuff. I've watched it over and over. And, you know, I love the show that we're scheduled to have Steve Donner on. I came to the studio without his number, which is not a normal thing to do. So we are trying to get his number right now, and we're going to have Steve Donner on. I really messed up here. I was so excited about you know, this whole game. I didn't prep right, Richie. But let's talk about the Western New York Flash and the playoffs and what's going to happen. I mean, you know, how many more games you got to win to get the playoffs? Are you going to be in the playoffs? I mean, is it still like, how close are you guys?
Well, you know, anything can happen in this sport, right? But our goal is, you know, we felt that a comfortable number of points, and keep in mind, you get 3 points for a win. You get 1 point for a tie, which we haven't had any ties. We've just, you know, I mean, last night hopefully happens more often. But, you know, we've been pretty successful on the field this year. We were in first place before Portland took us from that throne last week, and some questionable calls, but we played well. But now we're back at it. You know, we came out strong against Boston last night, took care of business, and we're looking forward to Chicago next weekend. So I think, you know, if we reach that magic number, I feel really confident right now, the way we're playing, that we could be in the playoffs. And we've also made some really big moves. One, bringing back not only a good player, but a huge fan favorite here in the area in McCall Zerboni. And she made a huge difference last night and helped set up a lot of those goals. And we also brought in Leanne Sanderson. You're wearing a Pirlo shirt right now.
Yes.
And she's been called kind of the female Pirlo. She's on the English national team, and she is that player, Leanne Sanderson, that can play that final ball. We have some of the most dangerous forwards on our team in the league. And Leanne can get them that final ball. And once they do, I mean, they score goals. I mean, look at last night, right?
Unbelievable. And the Frontier Field game, not, you know, Red Osier's there. I mean, Salvatore's Pizza's there at Mitzi's pizza stand. They got, hot dogs. They got all kinds of food concessions. They got people walking around selling stuff. You're going to have the band in the concourse you talked about. We're working on the party band. It's probably going to be in the concourse, where people used to hang out back in the day, right?
We're going to have a live band. We're going to have the official DJ, The Flash, there, the hottest DJ in Rochester. We're going to have, characters walking around. We're going to have, it's going to be an event. Forget all the nostalgia of soccer returning to Frontier Field, which is amazing. It's going to be an event. It's going to be a party. And that's what July 9th is going to be. And like I said, tickets go on sale for soccer returning back at Frontier Field this Monday. Okay? First thing Monday morning, go on WNYFlash.com. Get your tickets as fast as you can.
Oh, I can't wait. Those of you that listen to the show know I kind of lost my brain, and July 9th was the day I came back to this world. So it was kind of my new birthday, and I never have seen a live soccer game at Frontier Field. I've seen a lot of video of it, but I've never seen a live game. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this show is called Word on the Street. In our first Legends series, we're going to bring to you Rochester legends. It could be business legends, sports legends, people that have added to the quality of life in this amazing city I love called Rochester, New York. In 1996, this man, who was a Lancer fan as a kid, said, you know what, let's bring pro soccer back to Rochester. We haven't had pro soccer here in 15 plus years when the Lancers folded, and he figured out with the help of Frank DuRoss and Chris Economides to bring the Rochester Rhinos to Frontier Field. The first pro sports team to open up at that facility. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, media members out there, his name is Steve Donner. He is a Rochester sports legend. Welcome to the Word on the Street, Steve.
Morning, Sam. How are you?
Stevie, baby, I am so excited. Rich Randall's in the studio filling in for Jeff DeVeronica. We are so excited to have you on this show and being our first Rochester sports legend. Thank you, baby, for what you've done for this city.
Oh, thanks, Sammy. It's like old times. It feels good to be back talking to you about soccer and sports.
Well, Steve, I want to there's a lot of new listeners and a lot of young people that maybe not know the whole history, and we're gonna start off in the early years. You were a sports intern, and then you started working in the game of sports. Tell us about that part of your life and how you ended up being part of the Amerks.
Well, I was all around sports guy. I played all sports as a kid and throughout high school. College. Ended up loving, hockey. Probably hockey, lacrosse, and soccer were my baseball were my top sports. Well, I always wanted to get into professional sports. I got into a unique situation right out of college where I started to work sort of part-time, like you say, internship. I actually got a little commission for the Dayton Gems hockey team with a deal with a GM that they were an expansion team in Dayton where I went to college. And I wanted to see if I could try out for the team as a pro hockey player in the fall, and the GM said, well, tell you what, come to work for me in the front office. If you do a good job, we'll let you try out in the fall and let the chips fall where they may. So I really worked hard in the summer. I ended up being like the top ticket salesman for the team. I think when it came time for the training camp, they really didn't want me to go. They wanted me to stay in the front office, but they let me try out anyway. And I had actually made the team, got a contract, which was exciting. And then the WHA and the National Hockey League emerged that year. And Dayton ended up being the minor league club for the Winnipeg Jets. They sent down a goalie and ended up pushing me right into the front office. Although it was fun, I learned everything that year, and it sort of really put my roots for sports, all together in that first year. It was an expansion team. I did everything that year. I was, a salesman. I actually suited up for 8 games, as a backup goalie. I was a bill collector. I was a mascot. I, the trainer got mono for 2 weeks. I was a trainer. Did a little bit of color on the radio. So it really, really turned me on to, what became my future in sports.
That is amazing. I mean, that's a great story. Now, where is that mascot story in this mix? That the mascot story, is that in that era? Or?
Oh yeah, Freddie Gemstone. Yeah, no question.
Tell us about that.
Oh, it was just, you know, so my boss was a Barnum & Bailey type of guy, and he had us doing everything. And we had a friend, you know, we named the Dayton Gems hockey team. They came up with a mascot called Freddie Gemstone, you know, looked like Fred Flintstone with a helmet on. And, you know, the owner's brother was the mascot on game race. He lived in Columbus. It was like 60 miles away. So we had to take turns putting the costume on for a special event. And he looked at me. He was like, "You make a great Freddie Gemstone." And I was like, "Keith, no, I'm a professional. Come on." You know, but no, you know, he had me doing certain things. And one of the things that stuck out to me is he had this crazy idea that he was going to pull like 300 top tickets every other seat. So, you know, if you gave someone two tickets or four tickets, it was seat two, seat four, seat six, seat eight. You'd have to buy the seats in between, and they weren't together.
That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, you know, not a bad idea, you know, in theory. But, you know, the mascot's not supposed to speak or anything. So, you know, I go up to the mall and I'm trying to do, you know, pan them by, "Hey, come here, look, I've got tickets." And people would look at the ticket, "Oh, this is great, thank you. Wait, these tickets aren't together." And then I'd be like, nod my head, I know. And I'm trying to, you know, go to the game and meet people. Then, you know, finally I get frustrated. I'm like, "Go buy another ticket. You know, that's what it's for. You're supposed to buy another ticket."
He's yelling at the customers.
Oh, I ended up yelling at the customer. Then he had me do a school visit one time, I was doing a corporate visit. There was a school tour at downtown Dayton, Ohio. So I come around the corner, and I could barely, the sun was in my eyes, and all of a sudden I hear like about 30 kids just screaming. And they rushed me, they bum rushed me, and you know, the kids were kicking you in the butt and punching you and everything, and I kept, you know, like, try to play nice, and then finally I quit taking. I started doing, like, the whirlwind helicopter thing and sent a kid flying into a car. You know? I wasn't really cut out to be a mascot. And then I remember after that incident, I went into my boss, and I said, "That's it." I said, "I am, you know, not going to be Fred Gemstone anymore. I'm done." And then my boss said, "Okay, you're fired." I was like, "Wait, what?" Because, yeah, you do what I tell you to do, or, you know, you don't work anymore. You're fired. I said, "No, I want to sell tickets. I want to sell advertising. I want to do everything else." "No, you do what I tell you to do, or you're fired." But he made me come to his office every week. He put me on probation for a month, and I'd have to check in every Friday to see if I went back to work on Monday because I yelled at him. So,
wow.
Learning experiences all the way around.
That is amazing. I mean, a lot of these young interns that want to get into the sports, they don't understand how some of the legends of the game got involved. Steve, when we come back from this break, I want to find out how you ended up with the Amerks and how that all happened, because that is a real interesting story. So we'll be back here on The Word on the Street with Rochester sports legend, Mr. Steve Donner, here on Fox Sports 1280 and on your iHeart Radio app worldwide. Thank you, Steve. We'll be right back with you, buddy.
I don't need a windshield. Banana seat, a canopy on two wheels. 800 cash, that's a hell of a deal. I'm headed downtown. Cruising through the alley. Tiptoeing in the street like ballet.
Hey. Hurt in an accident? Not sure about who to call? Waiting can cost you. The law requires that accident victims assert their damage claims promptly.
I put off calling a lawyer. I almost missed that deadline. Thank goodness I called when I did. I nearly lost out on thousands of dollars.
Call 855-74-RADIO. Your claim could be worth more than you know.
We were in a bad wreck. The other driver said he didn't have insurance. My lawyer found out that guy was driving for a business. With the lawyer's help, we got money we never realized we could get.
If you've been hurt in a traffic accident, on the job, at a store, office, or construction site, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 855-74-RADIO. That's 855-74-RADIO.
The call was free, we got the help we needed, and the money we deserved.
Call now, 855-74-RADIO. That's 855-74-RADIO.
Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
We're back. Word on the street. Soccer Sam Fantuzzo here in the studio with Rich Randall filling in for Jeff DeVeronica. This is our first ever Rochester Legends series here on Word on the Street. And we have with us Mr. Steve Donner. Steve, how did you end up working with the Amerks?
Well, so it was coming near the end of my first season in Dayton. And you know, obviously, I'd always kept very close tabs on what was happening with the Amerks. The broadcaster for the Amerks at the time was Rick Peckham, who's now the broadcaster for the Tampa Bay Lightning. We ended up becoming really good friends. So he actually lived and was from Dayton, Ohio. I was from Rochester working in Dayton, Ohio. So he and I used to talk back and forth a little bit. We used to get about changing jobs and exchanging jobs. And one day he actually called me and he said, hey, heads up. He goes, you know, the team is just opening a new position. So they're heading into their 25th anniversary season. And for the first time in their history, they're looking to hire a marketing director. So imagine, Sammy, in sports today, the team went first 25 years without any marketing personnel whatsoever.
Wow.
So they said, you know, it's because there are going to be a lot of applicants. Why don't you come in and interview? And I put together a whole suitcase of all the promotions that we had done in Dayton, all the wacky things, the mascot stuff. George Verdansk was the general manager, so I went in for an interview, and I laid it all on his desk, and I said, we've done this Diamond Night, $25 giveaway, Puck Night, Stick Night, blah, 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 blah. You know, I've been a mascot, I've been this, I could be your backup goalie, I'll do anything, hire me, anything. And he said, well, and I remember I was supposed to work at the Kentucky Derby, you know, that weekend. It was a Wednesday, my interview. He said, well, I've got to talk to our, you know, our owners and just see where we're at. We've got a lot of applicants here. So that was like on a Wednesday. I was getting ready to leave on a Friday morning to head down to Kentucky, and I got a frantic call from my mother. I was actually having lunch with Mayor Frank Lamb. I don't know if you remember Mayor Lamb, but his son and I went to college together, Dave Lamb. And so I was having lunch with Mr. Lamb, and my mother, you know, like I drove home. We didn't have cell phones back then. I got in the driveway. My mother was running down to the back of the garage and said, you got to call George McGinnis right away. It's an emergency. So I called George. He said, are you on the road yet? I said, well, no. Getting ready to leave in about an hour. He said, well, come on down. You know, we want to talk about hiring it. So I went down, and the president and George were there, and they offered me the job as first marketing director in Amherst history.
Wow. So that was like 25 years no marketing director. You're the first marketing director. You did the Dayton thing, and you did everything from being Freddie the mascot there to, you know, helping sell tickets and collecting money and everything else. So now, what? How did it go as an Amherst employee? How long were you an employee before you actually had to take over the team?
So it, you know, went two steps, went three steps. So I worked 3 years for the Amherst, and in that 3 year period, you know, we really developed a lot of the marketing structure they still have today. And back then, you know, I think today, even at the Amherst level, they probably have 8 to 10 people in the marketing department. It was myself and Vince Petrone, another former Rhinos employee. He was my intern. The two of us did everything. We did all the ticket sales, the game night marketing, the game night events, all the other, you know, just the two of us did everything, basically. And so by the third year, we really had things cooking. The Buffalo Sabres had bought the Amherst halfway through my tenure with the Amherst, and they had a tough time going on with the Sabres, and the market, you know, the economy was really sour. They lost 6,000 season ticket holders in a span of 3 weeks after they'd been sold out for 10 years. And so they actually approached me and said, we don't really have a creative marketing person here that can address our needs. Would you have any interest to come to Buffalo and help us? So, I was like, yeah. And once again, I was the first, you know, marketing director in Sabres history. And it was an advertising director, myself, and a director of tickets. And the three of us, you know, sort of revamped and rebuilt the entire Sabres marketing program over a 9 year period. And then I got called by a recruiter who was trying to hire a vice president for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And he said they were a world of hurt. They had about 1,100 season ticket holders going into their first year. They needed someone really creative who thought outside the box. And, you know, I went down for an interview with Phil Esposito. And again, they told me this was like on a Tuesday afternoon. Middle of February, it was 75 degrees down there and about 2 degrees in Buffalo. And, you know, I interviewed with 12 different people. It was Chinese and Japanese ownership. There was Phyllis Esposito, his brother. You know, Mel Lowell, who was vice president of finance. You know, it was a real gauntlet of an interview. And then they said it was going to be probably a one-month period for a decision. And I got to the end of the interviews, about 10 of them, and they offered me the job on the spot that day. And I was like, oof, I wasn't really coming down here prepared to make a decision. And I said, well, why don't you go out for a ride and get to know the area. Here's the keys to a convertible. Clearwater Beach is that way. Why don't you go check it out and see what you think? So I literally went out to Clearwater Beach, took my shoes off, and I was walking to the beach. And I'm like, why wouldn't I drive it? This is insane, you know? So I took the job in Tampa, you know, as vice president of marketing with a starter franchise for the Lightning. And,
wow. So you know, I didn't know that. So you were at the Amerks, then you went to the Sabres, and then you went to Tampa Bay Lightning, and that's when kind of hockey was just kind of getting started in these warmer climate cities. And so tell us about the whole Tampa Bay Lightning thing, Steve Downer.
Oh, it was insane, Sammy, because you know there was no footprint. We didn't have an arena to play in. We didn't have any money. Bill Zito sort of got the franchise based on his relationship as a player with the league and promise to put everything together. So literally we're, you know, it's like April, May before the October start of the season. We don't even have an arena to play in. And we were rehabbing an old fairgrounds building temporarily to play there, but they didn't have ice. They didn't have boards. They didn't have locker rooms. It was insanity, really, but it was also the biggest challenge of my life. So I went there and early May, and they had four staff members for an NHL club. Starting in October, there was four staff members.
Wow.
So I had to hire marketing staff, ticket staff. I had to sell advertising. I had to find a way to get some interest, you know, in the team. And so we were sort of dead in the marketplace, and we did some crazy stuff. So we finally had an open house. We had the rehab of the building going along well enough where we decided to have an open house. So we said it was going to be invitation only to special, you know, potential season ticket holders. Well, you know, I had an advertising agency that was really creative. They said, well, we're going to do it invitation only, but we're going to send out 30,000 invitations. So we did. We sent out 30,000 invitations to this open house. And, you know, we were hoping to get, you know, 100 people, 200 people. Well, the day of the open house, people were lined up for like a block trying to get in. It was overflowing all day long. You know, the press was there. The cameras were there. You know, we were selling season tickets. People were like, holy smoke, there's a ton of interest in the Lightning. And then a week later, we unveiled a advertising campaign. It was called Kick Ice. And it was a $2 million campaign. And on a Wednesday afternoon, anything around town.
Wait, Steve, did you say Kick Ice?
Kick Ice, yeah.
Kick Ice, okay.
Yeah. And our first, we took a full-page newspaper ad. They come out October 1st when we threw out the first player. They were trying to lure baseball for Tampa Bay at the time, mm-hmm. and it wasn't working. So we had this picture of a hockey player flying through the air. They come out opening night on October 1st, see us throw out the first player, so the first pitch. And it was very irreverent. It was totally off the wall. We had television, newspaper, billboards all over the place, all unveiled the same couple of days. And it's just like a light bulb went on in the city. Like all of a sudden, the phones were lighting up. People were asking about tickets. And I remember the day we put tickets on sale for the first time ever. We were so nervous that we weren't going to have people show up to the box office to buy tickets that morning because we're going to have press light up and cameras and everything. We actually, our advertising agency and myself went out and we hired 100 extras to line up at 6 a.m. in the morning. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, there was 100 people to be hired to stand in line, you know, to start the line for tickets.
Vince McMahon style. I like that, Steve.
And then we started calling the radio stations and saying, you won't believe what's going on downtown. There's a line, you know, 100 people long already at 6 o'clock in the morning. Next thing you know, there's cameras out there and line people, you know, 100, 150, 200. It had a massive opening day sale. I remember just going through every single person in line and shaking their hand and thanking them for coming out. And, you know,
was, I mean, we just did some really fun stuff that, you know, we were doing pretty much out of desperation at the time, but we artificially started building an interest with the team.
Wow. I love that. That's great. So basically, you helped get the Sabres kind of going with the marketing. Then you went to Tampa Bay Lightning. They didn't even have an arena when you went there, and you turned that baby around. You got that going. How do you end up back in Rochester, Steve Downer, legend?
Well, so I always had a great relationship with the Knox family. And to this day, you know, when I had the opportunity to become an owner, I tried to really treat our players, our staff, everyone, our fans the way Knox family treated us when we worked with Sabres, because they were just complete gentlemen. You know, they were like family, and you felt you could work there forever. So I was, Mr. Knox, Seymour Knox, was so disappointed when I left Buffalo. He took me out for lunch and said, we want you to come back. How long is your contract with the camp? I said, 3 years. Well, I want you to come back at the end of your contract and come back to Buffalo. It was really heartfelt. It was really nice. So we stayed in touch. Then our first season, when Buffalo came down to play us, they came down for the trip. They couldn't believe the atmosphere of the building. It was really, really wild and different than they were used to. And so they kept saying, "Boy, you know, anytime we get you back, we'll have you back." I said, "Well, I'm not so sure I'm going to come back to Buffalo, but if you ever think about selling the Rochester Americans, please let me know. That would be my dream." And so they laughed it off, said, "Well, I don't think we'll get rid of the Hammers." But then, as luck would have it, about a year and a half into my stay in Tampa, the Sabres were trying to build Marina Bay Arena. And the Hammers were losing, you know, $500,000 to $600,000 a year every year. It was a cost of business. The banks wouldn't give Sabres the money for the arena. They had to trip some of their losing enterprises to qualify for funding. So, as a second year in Tampa, I got a call one day from Mr. Knott that he was serious about maybe wanting to buy the Avericks. I was like, "Oh, yeah. I'm going to have Jerry Meehan, who's the general manager, give you a call." But he called me. He came down for 3 days, in Tampa, and we tried for 3 days to work out a deal, and we just couldn't agree on price and some of the, it was a pretty quick transaction. So it was as well as we could get it done. So I didn't think it was going to happen. And then I got a visit out of nowhere from Mr. Knox about 2 weeks later. He said, "I got to talk to you about this Rochester thing. We've got to find a solution for this, but here's what I'd like you to consider. We want to give you a 3-year contract, president of the Rochester Americans. We want to give you the option to buy the team during those 3 years, and we'll work out a price of the deal sometime within those 3 years. Shook my hand and I said, most people I wouldn't have trusted to do it by a handshake, but, Mr. Knox was a man of his word, and I said, okay. So I became the first president, actually, of Rochester American history, because before they just had GMs and never had they mainly had general managers.
Right.
But I became the first president, and literally during that summer, during the transition, they hired Doug Moss, who became the first outside president of the Buffalo Sabres to help build the arena and take the team in a new direction. And it was the first time that an owner, not a brother, Knoxville brother, was really the director of the company. But he came to Rochester to see the arena in the Amherst on a Wednesday night in October. We had about 3,000 people there. This was before the renovation. The arena looked really tired. And he was a New Yorker, so he was an no-nonsense guy. So he looked at me that night and said, "Holy crap, this is an old bar." Actually, his words were a lot more crass than that, but he said, "Do you want to buy this thing right now?" I was like, "Right now, right now?" And he's like, "Well, yeah." He goes, "I think we should do this right now. Now, why wait?" I was like, "Well, let me figure out how I put the financing together, but yeah." So I sat down and mapped out a strategy how I could do it. Maybe a couple of guys. I brought in a couple of the old owners that used to own the Amherst years ago. I was still a pretty young businessman. I wanted to surround myself with a good attorney and a good accounting person and people that I trusted. And the four of us put together the deal and bought the Amherst.
So what year did you buy the Amherst, Steve? What year was that?
That would have been 1995.
So 1995, Steve Downer leaves the Lightning. comes to back to Rochester, buys the Amerks. Renovation happens at the Blue Cross Arena soon after that. Back then it was probably the War Memorial. Steve, when we get back, I want to talk about the years of you owning the Amerks, the success you had there, and then you come up with this game that guys are chasing butterflies. They call it lacrosse. We got to talk about that when we get back. All right, Steve Donner?
All right. Thanks, man.
We're back here on Word on the Street, the Legends series, our first ever Rochester legend. Steve Donner here. We'll be back and find out about his years as an Amerk owner, Nighthawk owner, Rattlers owner, and Rhinos owner, Mr. Steve Donner.
Many health insurance plans now cover drug and alcohol abuse as a disease that can be treated. Maybe you thought only movie stars could afford treatment for an addiction? New rules have changed that. Now, real help is affordable if you call 800-885-HOPE.
I was on my way to losing everything. Family, business, everything. I needed help, but I didn't know how. Then, I made the call.
Addiction is a disease, horrible and debilitating. You can't fight it alone. But if you reach out, there's hope. Call 800-885-HOPE. That's 800-885-4673.
I knew he had a problem, but didn't know where to get help. They found us a treatment center that took in quick and accepted insurance.
New coverage rules make effective, quality treatment affordable. If you or someone you love has an addiction, you already know the problem won't fix itself. Call 800-885-HOPE. That's 800-885-HOPE. Don't put it off any longer. Ad sponsored by Leap Circle LLC. Coverage and rules vary by state and carrier.
We talk sports with you Monday, 9 till noon, only on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
We're back on Word on the Street Legend Series. Mr. Steve Donner. Steve started almost as a mascot, ends up starting the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know who they are now, all you soccer fans. Comes back, helped the Sabres get going. Comes back and now owns the Rochester Amerks, the Americans. Steve, tell us about the Amerks, Calder Cups, the emotions, the time you're with them, and then where this whole Nighthawk thing came from, because no one ever heard of lacrosse before you brought them to town. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was such a whirlwind, Sammy. You know, first of all, I came back to Rochester. My thought was, I'm a Rochester native. I've learned an awful lot about the business. I thought Rochester was always a good sports town, but it was a little stuck in its way. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? And, we had just the Rochester Red Wings and the Amerks for so many years, and I just thought in my mind that the community was ready for something bigger and something newer and something that, you know, resembled Major League. So I came back with a goal to restore the pride in the Amerks and bring the Calder Cup championships in the Amerks. Be a team that would fight for championships every year. And so coming back, it was never about making money for me, and maybe it should have been more about making money. I'd still be there maybe, but it was really about community pride and bringing, you know, winning teams to Rochester for community pride. So, you know, we had put together, the first year at Rochester for the Amherst was so much fun. We had a lot to do. I came in a little bit late once again. We had to sign a bunch of players that, you know, we had such a bad team the year before, and we wanted to, under local ownership, just be the total opposite. We weren't tough enough, so I went out, and the first three players we signed, really, the first player I ever signed in my tenure as an owner was Craig Sharon. He wasn't a fighter, but what a wonderful young man, and what a gem of a player. Turned out to be our most valuable player that year. And, you know, he had never been given a chance to play at the AHL level. They're a little small, maybe. And so I had given him his first chance to play full time at the American Hockey League level. Right after that, I signed Scotty Metcalf and Dan Frawley and brought them back to Rochester, two fan favorites. Gave us immediate veteran leadership, gave us immediate toughness. And that was so much fun, you know, to sort of reliving that moment and putting the building blocks together of what would end up being a Calder Cup championship winning team. John Tortorella, you know, came down to interview his coach. Initially, I was a little bit uncertain about John because my understanding was that he really favored development over winning. We had a meeting at my office, and he told me under no certain terms that he wants to develop players, but he wanted to do it in a winning environment.
now he was on board to help piece the team together. And, I mean, you can, some of these stories you could probably take a whole Saturday and pull it, you know, so I don't know what to highlight really, but, but the long and short of it was we put together a really dynamic team, probably a little bit too much toughness. I can tell you one quick story that it haunts me to this day. So we were playing our first ever, like Syracuse was coming into the league, Syracuse Crunch. They were an expansion team. And I thought, man, we've got to develop a rivalry with them right away. So I called their owner, Howard Golden, and I said, let's play games back-to-back on Friday night in Syracuse and Rochester. Well, let's have a bunch of fights, you know, and really get this rivalry started. And he goes, well, you know, and I was sort of half serious, half kidding. But we were bringing a lot of tough guys into camp. We probably had, you know, we had Serge Robert, Rich Walcott, you know, Letter. We had so many tough guys, it was pretty intimidating. So they agreed to do the series. I went to the match in Syracuse on Friday night, and I could tell right for an exhibition game, the pregame warm-up had this real edge to it. It was, like, sort of scary. Like, you know, they were eyeballing each other, you know, I could tell that, oh, this is actually going to be war. And I didn't intend it to be this way, but what they did is they brought in a bunch of goons for the game also. And so right from the opening face-off, here we go. Like, we had, like, five, six players fighting on the ice at the drop of the puck, and it continued the entire game. It was like fighting nonstop the entire game. There was one incident where we had two players in the penalty box. They had two players in the penalty box. This guy named John Baduk, who was a tough guy, actually, they were mouthing off each other over the glass. He decided to climb out of the penalty box, climb over the top of the scorekeeper in between the two penalty boxes, climb into the penalty box on our side.
Wow.
Start fighting with the players over there. It's a legend. They hung his jersey in the arena as a legend because of it. And so it did set off the rivalry. It was crazy, but all the players got suspended. So the next night, when we played Rochester, none of the tough guys could play. They were all suspended. So it was tough to sell tickets to a game where there's no toughness. But the big thing was, for me, George McPhee was the GM, I think, at the time, I think he was working for Washington. And he was so mad at me for what happened, and I didn't realize it was. So we'd have league meetings like in spring and summer, and he would attend the league meetings, and Syracuse owner Howard Golden said, "Don't stay away from George McPhee. I think he still wants to fight you." You know, from the incident that happened in just October. I said, "That was a joke, Howard. I mean, I never really meant it to be anything serious, but what a way to start the preseason for your first year." But we started out really, you know, like, gangbusters. We won big on opening night. We won a few games in a row. Then we sort of hit a tough patch where we just couldn't put wins together. And around Christmas time, you know, we were on the outside of the playoffs looking in. And this was, I thought it was going to be a miserable first season, especially after opening night. I was out at center ice, you know, boldly predicting that I was going to bring the cup back to Rochester. So I was feeling pretty disillusioned come Christmas time. But then we had a weekend series in Carolina, and we played the Greensboro Monarchs at the time. I remember they had a big ice storm that weekend, so we got stuck there for an extra day or two, and there was a real bonding thing that took place that weekend. In fact, Stevie Shields was our goalie, and he came out of Michigan highly touted, and he had a real tough first half of the season, and they had sent down a goalie named Trefeloff from Buffalo for a conditioning assignment. Trefeloff came down as a consummate pro, and he approached the game so seriously, and he won both games for us that weekend. In fact, that weekend, Stevie Shields asked Tortorella if he could switch from being a goalie to play forward. That's how disillusioned he was. I've never heard of that.
So
even go down East Coast League and start over. So it was really. So, you know, we won those two games, and Shields really took a lot out of that weekend. He comes back second half of the season. He plays Shields. He starts to play better, and we go on a tear. Just good enough. I think there were eight teams that made the playoffs. We were the seventh seed to get into the playoffs. We made the playoffs the last weekend of the season.
Wow.
So that was like, oh, that's so cool when we're in the playoffs. And then we go into the playoffs, and we had to play the Adirondack Red Wings, who were favored. They won our division. You know, we swept them in the first round. Then we had to play. We've got a real lucky break because Albany River Rats were like, defending champions, I think, or they had been to the finals. They'd won the division. They got knocked off by Cornwall. You know, we ended up playing Cornwall. We beat them four straight. And then, you know, we just marched on.
And you know, that was the year you won the Calder Cup, though, Steve. That's the pitchers I've seen. So Steve Downer, first year Calder Cup championship, the Blue Cross Arena. They got to make the place bigger because you got so many people coming to these games. You were the best at what in the business, man, in that era. And in that era, Stevie, let's be honest, let's not get political here, but the politicians didn't understand that you got to take care of the pro sports teams. Now they're giving these guys money like it's candy, but back then you had to earn it. You had to get sponsors. You had to sell tickets. It was a different era. You had to bring in investors. You did that, and we come back. I want to find out how you brought the Nighthawks to town, how you brought the Rattlers to town, and, of course, how you brought the Rhinos to town, because on July 9th, Stevie D, they're going to have a soccer game back at Frontier Field where you were smart enough to figure out a way to do a field at a baseball park. It's just amazing. This guy, you know what else, Steve, that Rich doesn't know, Rich Randall? Steve Downer went to Orlando, started a USL team there, put the foundation in place. Now that team is an MLS team. This is the guy right here, Steve Downer, Rochester sports legend, back here on Kick This, the Word on the Street series with our legend, Mr. Steve Downer.
When you're shopping for a car or truck, it shouldn't be complicated. We make it simple at Fusillo Hyundai. Hey, folks, Tom Parkinson, Robert Rosario out on the lot looking at a huge selection right now of the Santa Fe Sports.
2017 Santa Fe Sports, all-wheel drive.
Very important. Comes equipped
with rear-view camera. It's got power windows, power door locks, Bluetooth, and more options. You can lease a vehicle for $279, Tom.
$279 a month for that Santa Fe Sport all-wheel drive. Don't forget that. 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, 5-year roadside assistance. At Fusillo Hyundai of Greece, where it's simply
Rochester huge.
MSRP $28,490. 36-month, 30,000-mile lease. 10,000 miles per year. 20 cents per mile over limit. 8% tax. $24.99 plus DMV fees due at signing. First monthly payment of $279 plus tax and tags and $5.95 acquisition fee included in payment structure. No disposition fee. $400 early termination fee. No security deposit required. $500 HMF lease cash apply. Offer with approved credit through Hyundai Motor Finance. Prior sales excluded. See dealer for details. Pricing available from June 1st, 2016 through June 30th, 2016.
Hey, it's Joe DeMonico for Quality Homes of Rochester. Not all home improvement companies are the same. Some may not have been in business long. They don't have any experience. Some may have these great low prices, but you wonder about the quality of the materials they use. And some you just don't trust. Well, Quality Homes of Rochester reminds you to be sure you're comparing apples with apples when it comes to choosing a home improvement company. Take a checklist with you. What gets a good check? Years of experience. Quality Homes has over 25 years of experience.
We're back on Word on the Street. Soccer Sam Fantuzzo here with Rich Randall filling in for Jeff DeVeronica. Steve Downer, the Legend Series. Steve owns the Amherst. They got to make the building bigger because he's selling so many tickets, doing a killer event there, game after game, year after year. All of a sudden, Steve, you bring in lacrosse. How did the Nighthawks come to Rochester? There's all kinds of kids now playing lacrosse in this community because of you. How did that all happen, Steve?
Well, it really happened. It started 3 years earlier when I was in Buffalo, and we were trying to look for new events to bring to a new arena that we're trying to build. So I looked at a number of different options in, you know, lacrosse or soccer, among other things. And at the time, the indoor lacrosse, I went to a game, and it really just, I was big of, lacrosse when I was younger. That's a whole different story. It helped me get through a tough time in my life. But I had some real passion for the game. We brought a team to Buffalo. It became an instant hit. They were selling out, you know, 16,000 fans. We were going to try to actually put a team into Tampa. I was negotiating with the league to put a team into Tampa when I left to come to Rochester. So they were disappointed, you know, that the team wasn't going to go to Tampa at the time. And so it was the middle of our first season with the Amherst. And I said, why not bring it to Rochester? You know, and it's, I don't know, it's too close to Buffalo. I don't want to be in Buffalo. The arena's too small. And I showed them that the city was, you know, in the process of adding seats to the arena. And, you know, I eventually talked them into giving Rochester a try, you know, instead of moving it to Tampa. And I felt at the time that things were cooking along so well with the Amherst that the city was ready for something new. And I felt that the indoor game was so exciting. We'd be playing major league cities like Buffalo, Philadelphia, Boston, you know, New York, that would play over really big, I thought, in the community. And thankfully, I was right.
Man, Steve, were you so right, though? My wife, Sporty Spicy Linda, she says that we used to go to Nighthawk games, and it was like people to the rafters. It wasn't an open seat in the building. It was like a party atmosphere. It was the place to be.
Incredible.
And you created all that, Steve. And then you figured out a way. You meet this guy, Frank DuRoss, your longtime childhood friend, Chris Economides. You guys bring the Rhinos to Rochester. Tell us quickly how that happened, how you were able to convince the Red Wings to let you open up that stadium.
Well, you know, so Frank and I became really good friends through the AHL. And, you know, we talked about doing a project together, you know, outside of Rochester, outside of Providence, which he owned. And, you know, Chris at the time, seeing the success of this kind of meeting, the success of Nighthawk, really was pushing, so let's do an indoor soccer team. You know, and I was like, you know, Chris, not that I'm against indoor soccer, but I just think it would be so imbalanced. There's not enough youth. Sammy, you've been through it. It was just tough to get dates at a Leafs, you know, at the arena. So if we already had hockey going, we already had lacrosse going, you know, indoor soccer was going to be a tough thing to add in the wintertime. So I said, I think if we're going to do soccer, let's do the real game. Let's do it outside. There's not as much competition in the summertime. We went to, actually, this is no knock against the Red Wings. We went to a Red Wings game, like I think it was August, and it happened to be Little League night, and it was a beautiful night. The place was packed. The game itself, you know, wasn't the most exciting game I've ever been to. But I looked at Chris and I said, you can't tell me that if we do soccer right, it can't be as entertaining or more entertaining than this. You know, why wouldn't we do it? You know? And so we started to explore aggressively doing an outdoor soccer team. Stadium was a real issue. We sat down with the Red Wings, and at the time they were in silver, looking to go to Frontier Field. We talked to them initially, and they, you know, they were always interested, but always sort of about what was going to happen to the field. They weren't sure initially at Silver Stadium. I remember having a conversation, and their question was, I'm not sure it's going to be worth for us to open the stadium. I don't know if the crowd's going to be big enough that we can make money on concessions. And I remember boldly saying to them at the time, I think we're going to outdraw you on game nights. our plan is to out-average you, not to outdraw the first year. And they looked at me sort of sideways. But they were very gracious. So, and then Jim LeBeau and the county, you know, were putting the final steps of the new stadium together. The financing was always a little bit shaky on the stadium. And when they heard that we wanted to bring another tenant to the stadium, they thought it would be great for everybody. And then we probably caught the biggest break ever in professional sports. And that was, you know, the Red Wings decided, you know, because the stadium wasn't going to be ready until July, they decided not to go into the stadium the very first year that it was open. And our season started a little bit later. We played some games on the road. We played games at U of R, as you recall, to sort of get the team rolling. And then I'll just never forget the opportunity to really unveil soccer, you know, in a major way at Frontier Field on opening night, you know, in 1996. That is what really turned the light bulb on for professional soccer.
It changed things. Four championships for you, including the Open Cup. The Lamar Hunt family comes to Rochester. They want to move an MLS team here. New stadium happens. I mean, Steve, you've done so much for this city. And I know Bob Matthews is a huge fan of yours, and Jeff DeVeronica talks about you a lot, and what you've done for this city. And a lot of young people and a lot of casual fans don't understand it, but you did it in an era where the political people didn't understand how important sports are. Now it's different. In most cities, including Rochester, the city officials write checks to these teams for new, you know, scoreboards and suites and whatever they need, they take care of them. It was different back then. And I did it for 4 years, Steve, and you are my hero, man, because, you know, Nighthawks, eventually you brought the Rattlers to town, obviously, outdoor lacrosse. You played at Frontier, and then you moved to Bishop Kearney High School with your same dream team, and you sold out, you know, thousands and thousands of fans at a high school event with outdoor lacrosse. I mean, dude, you've done so much, and now our city gets – you know, we're reaping the rewards of what you, the foundation that you laid out here, man. Soccer's still huge. The Flash are playing at the Big Hot Dog, the stadium that you helped build, Salem Stadium. The Flash play there with the Rhinos, but now they're going to be going back to Frontier Field, the house that you opened up. To play a game, and obviously the Nighthawks are still around and successful. The Rattlers are still around and successful. The ESL Hockey Arena that you helped build, there's thousands of people come here. The town of Henrietta explodes for every weekend event that you helped create that building, and obviously what you've done for this city, Steve. Somebody should rename a street in your honor. You deserve the keys to this city. You deserve so much, and I hope that Jeff DeVeronica and some of the people in the media today figure out a way to do an in-depth story of what you've done for this city, baby, because it is truly amazing, my friend.
Well, thanks, Sammy. You know, and for me, it was always a labor of love. It was my hometown. I've always just wanted to bring success, new exciting things to the area that we haven't had in the past. You know, and I'm really proud of the fact that, you know, I brought championship teams to Rochester and Florida sports, you know, multiple championships and more than one franchise. You know, every one but the Amherst. We went to the finals four times in the Amherst. We were only able to win once, but you know, we were teams that, you know, we were going to battle for a championship crown every single year, you know, as long as I could keep it afloat. So I'm very proud of it. And, you know, like I say, you know, it's my hometown. I wish it the best of success. I wish the Rhinos and Winners the best of success. Still like to actually help them. I think I could help them in some ways. But thank you for everything. It's been fun reliving it, and memories will take to my grave.
Well, I hope to get you in town for July 9th, Steve. Rich Randall is with the Western New York Flash, the GM. Richie, you know, you got to make it worth his while to come to town, man. You got a big family. You got to bring them all. Come on, make it happen.
Mr. Donner, I got to tell you, I mean, growing up here in Rochester, New York, one of the most amazing things that I can remember from those days is I was a soccer fan, but I was also a sports fan. I still remember all those names. I mean, that was an era when I knew the hockey players playing in town. Yep. I knew the lacrosse players playing in town. I knew the Rhinos players in town. And I don't know how you did it, but, you know, I probably wouldn't be here. And I tell people all the time, I'm so blessed that I can do what I do and work in the city that I'm from, where all my family and friends are, because that's so rare in this industry. And I really give a lot of that credit to you. So thank you for making that happen. And, you know, without all the things that you made happen at Frontier, you know, we wouldn't probably have this opportunity on July 9th, and I'm so excited to bring it back, and I do hope you're able to come on July 9th. I'd love to meet you in person, and as we make a pretty amazing event happen at Frontier Field. I mean, soccer hasn't been played there since 2005.
Yeah, it would be a real treat to come back. I'm working on trying to get up there right now, and it would be great to relive, you know, so many great memories that we all had together. You know, and now it's your time. Now it's your time to, you know, put your stamp on things, and, you know, it's time to hopefully carry on the things that I started and hopefully take it to new levels. That's what it's all about, sports. So I've done my time, and now it's your time.
Well, Steve, I can't wait. A book should be written. A movie should be produced. Dude, this is an amazing story. I wish we had 2 hours to do this, but we don't. Thank you so much for being our first ever Rochester legend here on Word on the Street. And thank you for what you've done for this great community, Steve Donner.
Oh, Jimmy, thanks so much. A lot of fun talking about it. It's a real honor to be the first guest.
All right, Steve Donner with us here. Hopefully we'll see him July 9th. And you parents, you're driving around right now. If your kid's playing lacrosse right now, your kid's playing soccer, your kid's into hockey, Steve Donner helped lay that foundation in this great, great community. And again, he did it in an era where city and county officials didn't understand how important pro sports are for these communities. I mean, when he tried to lure the MLS team to Rochester, what happened is the Kansas City team used that to lure their officials to give them what they wanted. If you don't give us what we want in Kansas City, we're going to move to Rochester. They got what they wanted. That's how it happened. So we were kind of, but Steve kind of almost pulled that off, almost got an MLS team here so close with the help of Frank DeRoss and Chris Economies, three legends of this community that our community should embrace and welcome back and honor. These three men deserve the honor for soccer, and Steve Donner deserves the honor for hockey and lacrosse for this community, what he's done. Unbelievable. Rich Randall, that was interesting, man. I could listen to that guy all day long. I love history. I love stories. And see, I could read a book. I don't like to read, but I would read a book on that guy. I could, my wife would read it to me, but I could read a book on Steve Donner. I mean, that is interesting. Like, the mascot story, and just, you know, these pro sports teams in town, they should hire this guy as a consultant. We'll be back here next week on Kick This and Word on the Street. Bye-bye, everybody.
Now, this week's top TV stream. All right.